Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's sermon is the Gospel from Matthew 2, verses 13 to 18, which tells us how God protected his son from King Herod's intent to kill the newborn king. It also reminds us of the existence of evil in telling us how all the male children in Bethlehem and in all the region who were 2 years old and under were killed by King Herod. We call them the Holy Innocents. And the text points out the fulfillment of Jesus as God's Son, as foreshadowed in the Old Testament by the nation of Israel, who was called out of bondage in Egypt. Jesus, the new and true Israel, reduced to one man, who as a toddler went down to and was called out of Egypt, fulfills the words of the prophecy, "Out of Egypt I called my son." I want to begin today by wishing you all a Merry Christmas. It's not over. We still celebrate the birth of Jesus for 12 days, up to Epiphany, unlike the stores, the radios, and TVs who have finished their association with Christ on midnight on the 25th. In the church, we are not conformed to the world's calendar. God's kingdom is not of this world. May our lives not be so quick to follow the wrong leader, but to continue rejoicing in our true leader's birth. Speaking of leaders, this past week, that is as of December 23rd, 191 people received presidential pardons. This is how you say, Merry Christmas from the White House. Now, all of these pardons were for people who had already served their entire sentence for their conviction. So the pardons were merely to eliminate the collateral effects of their sentence, such as returning the right to vote and being allowed to own a firearm. But we remember that our nation's leader has the power to free the guilty. This pardoning from the top is something found in both of God's two kingdoms. His kingdom of the left grants earthly governments the authority to convict and to pardon for crimes. And in God's right-hand kingdom, God grants the church the authority to pronounce pardon for sins against neighbor and God. Pardon comes from the top. From heaven above to earth came Jesus to bring release to the captive and pardon for all our iniquities, and not for the innocent, but for the guilty, all who have sinned against God, for you and me. Today, however, we celebrate the Holy Innocents, those young children mentioned in our gospel, two or under, who, besides having original sin, did nothing to deserve death. These were victims, not perpetrators. They don't need presidential pardon. They need a resurrection. And that's what they get in our Lord Jesus Christ. Merry Christmas, Holy Innocents. A Savior has been born to you, and like you, he was a child wrapped up in infant clothes and slept silently on his mother's lap. Now, aren't we glad that all that murdering, all the innocent bloodshed is behind us? Should we in our prayers today thank God because Herod is no more and there's no more innocent death in our day? I think we all know the answer. We still have holy innocents, don't we? But who are these holy innocents? Well, for one, all the young today who die by infanticide and genocide in third world countries, sometimes even because they are Christians, and those who die as victims of war or terror. Second, all the young today who die by cancer, miscarriage, accident, and abortion. What have these young ones done to deserve this? Nothing, of course. Sure, they have original sin and live in a sinful world. That's why they die. But like Abel in Genesis, the first innocent man to die, our young holy innocents do nothing intentional to deserve death. They are passive in that regard, just as we are passive in receiving the gift of life and the gift of faith. Christ Jesus brings hope to the most helpless. We all indeed receive God's decree of forgiveness helplessly and passively, not by what our sins deserve, but by what our works or merits get us, but by God's grace alone, his steadfast love for us, revealed by his word and the sending of his only Son and his death on the cross. we passively receive the benefits, which is salvation, through our baptism, in holy absolution, and in the Lord's Supper. Doctrinally, this is all true, but when young innocent children die, almost nothing is comforting. As it said in the Old Testament reading from Jeremiah, Rachel is weeping. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are no more. But then it goes on to say, thus says the Lord, keep your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for there is a reward for your work, declares the Lord. They shall come back. There is hope for your future, declares the Lord. And your children shall come back. And now you see why the Holy Innocents is celebrated during Christmas. Christmas is the beginning of the greatest comeback story of all time. The God who became flesh and dwelt among sinners, great and small. The God-man who dearly loves children and all who have a childlike, innocent faith. The God-man who would die innocently, truly innocently, as substitute for our guilt. And best of all, Holy Scripture reveals his comeback. The God-man born in Bethlehem came back to life on Easter and ascended into heaven. Therefore, the newborn babe is the true hope for all the children who die innocently from infanticide, SIDS, cancer, miscarriage, accident, and abortion. He is the hope for all who repent of their sins and believe in God's mercy. We all sin, but in Jesus, we return to our innocent standing as newborns, loved by our Father. Because of Jesus, Rachel will have her comfort. Her children will walk again in the new heavens and earth. But for those of us still below, there is work to do, and neighbors who need our voice and our works of love. Coming up in February, actually in January, is an annual event called the March for Life in Washington, D.C. It's on January 22nd this year. Our synod's group called Lutherans for Life invites you to come, and they'll even arrange complimentary housing for you so you can march with them on the mall. For more information, visit lutheransforlife.org or marchforlife.org. Can't go to Washington? No problem. There's also a March for Life here in Knoxville on Sunday, January 25th. Come to church first, then join the march right afterward. Sponsored by Tennessee Right to Life, Knox County. Pastor Buescher and I encourage you to attend one of these. It's good for Christians to join with other Christians and even other faiths in the area of human care, including right to life advocacy. Proverbs 31 verse 8 says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Barring emergencies and sickness, I'll join you for one of these two marches. I'll go because I'm thankful for the life I've had, that my parents chose life, and I'm thankful that these organizations work to prevent further innocent deaths today. Moreover, I'm thankful that my Lord Jesus Christ died for me and all the young, the innocent one for all holy innocents and all who by sin, original or actual, need a gracious God. So, down with the Herods of this world. Up with the innocent by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And praise be to the living God whose word tells the good news of Christmas to us and who helps us to fight, work, and pray for the most helpless among us. God grant that we do it, not out of guilt, but out of love. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.